You're listening to a podcast from 702.
You're with Azania Mosaka
on 702.
So the health promotion levy on sugary beverages, it was a levy that was introduced a couple of years ago in 2018 in support of the South African Department of Health strategic plan for prevention and control of obesity. And the whole aim was to reduce obesity by 10% by 2020. It's been said that we're facing a sort of epidemic. It's severe, and we have growing obesity in this country. And according to a survey that was done, 68% of women, 31% of men, and 13% of children are overweight or obese. And South Africa is right up there when it comes to an overweight and obese population, the rate at which this is happening in sub-Saharan Africa. And so there was an interesting study that was done. It was led by the South African team at the South African Medical Research Council Center for Health Economics and Decision Science. This was in the School of Public Health at Wits and together with the University of the Western Cape. And they did this in partnership with the University of North Carolina. And the study was published earlier on this month. It was in the Lancet Planetary Health Journal. And it was the first, in fact, the first study to evaluate the impact of South Africa's tax on sugar and caloric intake. So this afternoon, I want to hear from you about your journey with added sugar. Have you stopped taking sugar in things like your tea and elsewhere? Have you cut down on your consumption of sugar or soft drinks or sugar or beverages with sugar in them? Have you cut down? Has it been a direct consequence of this health promotion levy, also known as the sugar tax? So the study has looked at all of this since the sugar tax came into place in 2018, because it was all about reducing our intake of sugar. So this afternoon, we're joined by Professor Karen Hoffman, who is from the Wits School of Public Health, to give us the insights, to tell us exactly how our intake has reduced. But it would be interesting to see how this has played out in your life. So you can give us a call on 011-883-0702. I cut out sugar 7 years ago. As for soft drinks, I visit them very rarely, rarely, in fact. And so far, not missing sugar at all. What's been your journey? Professor Karen, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure, no problem. Glad to be on the show.
So this is very interesting that we can now look back and reflect on the past 2 years to see exactly what the impact has been. So locally manufactured these drinks, right? The tax, they are taxed at source. So that means that the manufacturer pays this particular tax. So the consumer isn't paying for the increase. So there was also a recent study that found that since the introduction of what we colloquially call the sugar tax, there's been a significant price increase in carbonated soft drinks. So you're saying there's been a decline in consumption of sugar, particularly from beverages. What are you attributing this decrease to?
So just a minor comment. Mm. Thanks a lot for the question. Actually, the tax is passed on to the consumer.
Is it passed on?
It is passed on, and the industry has passed it on, actually. Which is good news, because it incentivizes people to say, well, why should we pay more for something that we don't really need? Mm-hmm. I mean, liquid sugar is not something that people actually need. It's headlines, it's addictive, and causes huge amounts of problems with diabetes and high blood pressure, which really affects their lives dramatically. So
we're seeing that at the price, the increase in price, and for volumes that some have say have even gone down.
Yeah, no, that's correct. That's totally correct. What's good is that the consumption by consumers has actually decreased. We've shown that with a study of many thousands of households nationally in South Africa. And what the other thing is that the industry has reformulated. In other words, they've changed the sizes of their drinks and actually pushed up the price both using the tax and the you know, their profits. Mm-hmm. So you know, for example, a 250 ml cold drink contains at a minimum somewhere between 6 and 7 teaspoons of sugar, which is not something that anybody would even put into their tea, I don't think.
Say that again, Karen. How many teaspoons?
Yeah. So 6 to 7 teaspoons of sugar.
Mm.
You know, and fruit drinks, which actually are not taxed at all, are even more dangerous because they have somewhere between 8 and 10 teaspoons of sugar. So they're not really healthier. But the fact is that people across the country have decreased their consumption based on our study, which was using, you know, industry data. It's a group called Kantar.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this actually started soon after the tax was announced, the health promotion levy. So it is actually promoting health. It's doing exactly what it said it would do. It's promoting health. And the design of the tax was actually pretty clever. That was the Treasury designed that.
Mm.
And, you know, we're on our way. Unfortunately, they didn't capitalize on this point, and so they haven't increased the tax over the last 3 years. And it really is high time that that increase so that people really do get the message.
Yes. Yeah, because we see that the Health Living Alliance, HELA, they have been asking Treasury to increase the tax to 20%. Is it still at 11% then?
Yes, that's right. And it hasn't even increased with inflation. So, you know, we're in deep trouble with obesity in South Africa, as I said. I mean, the obesity-related diseases in South Africa are costing South Africa close to 7% of GDP. Not a number we can afford. So people are really getting sick, getting their legs amputated, strokes, going blind from diabetes. It's bad news. It's really bad news, and we can ill afford this, especially in view of, you know, universal health coverage, NHI. Mm. We need to be preventing things in the first place. We really can't afford to overwhelm the health system. And
so,
you know, what's really interesting is what's happened during COVID,
mm-hmm.
Which is that almost all the people, not all, but almost all, the majority of people that have died from COVID in the hospitals have died of an obesity-related condition.
Wow, that needs to land a little bit, because I even saw a study that was done looking at the countries with the highest death rates around the world, and it was found that this correlated with the obesity levels in those countries. So,
right.
Yeah, so the countries
so
that, like the US, like the UK, and so on, because there was a direct not correlation as such, but where we saw a high number, a high number of deaths. So also, incidentally, there were higher obesity levels or rates there too.
Mm.
So,
go ahead.
I want to just touch on this issue because whenever this topic comes up, usually with every time like the link between sugar sweetened beverages and other foodstuffs and obesity and other communicable diseases, you find the challenge. People will challenge. They will dispute the link. And you were saying earlier on, there is a link. And there's also literature that says there's convincing evidence between the intake of sugar-sweetened beverages and the risk of obesity, diabetes, and other conditions, as you mentioned, stroke and heart disease. So this challenge or this dispute that there is a link, what is your response?
So I think we're in serious trouble because we've got fake news and it's been going on for decades. So the industries that promote these products have commissioned lots of research to show that maybe it's not so important. They do what's called, they generate doubt. They sow doubt in the minds of the public by saying, you know, maybe this isn't true, maybe this isn't accurate. Actually, it's very important for certainly the media and for journalists to make sure that information that is shared is information that has been, you know, evidence-based and is what's called peer-reviewed. So it's got, you know, been looked at very carefully by other scientists who you know, don't know us and have looked at this carefully. And the fact is that these industry-related comments, which is what they are, is what has been done for years with the tobacco industry and the alcohol industry, still going on with the alcohol industry. And it's happening now with sugar, liquid sugar, and, of course, a lot of processed foods. And during COVID, many people have increased their consumption of processed foods. So all of these questions that you correctly have identified, you know, where, you know, is this accurate? Is it correct? Yes, this is what's called creation of doubt, and this is industry related.
And we need to recognize it when it's happening, because yes, the debate was ahead of this law. I can distinctly remember the years before the law, it was raging around whether or not there is a link. But safe to say we've put that to bed. So let's look at the rates of decrease in consumption and also the socioeconomically where the impact has been felt the most.
Yeah, so, you know, across the country in all 9 provinces, people have decreased their intake. We did some studies as well in Soweto, and there have been studies done by our colleagues in the University of the Western Cape in Langa. And the fact is that amongst all populations, there's been a decrease. It's particularly true in, especially in Soweto, the studies that we did in Soweto showed that the heaviest consumers decreased the most.
Wow.
In terms of their consumption, which is terrific news, going from something like 10 a week to 4 a week of sugary drinks. That's good news. And the fact is that it has actually impacted the most vulnerable people who are the poorest the most. And that is good news, because those people are the most vulnerable, not only because they're poor, but also because they have the least access to good health care.
Right.
So if they get diabetes or they get high blood pressure, half the time it's not diagnosed. And, you know, a lot of the time it overwhelms the health system. They go to the health system when things are already very bad. And so it's very difficult to manage their conditions. So this is definitely promoting health, this levy, and it, you know, as a result, needs to increase. It needs to keep pace with inflation at a minimum.
So you say the team has found a 51% reduction in sugar, 52% reduction in calories, and a 29% reduction in volume of beverages purchased per person per day following the implementation of the law.
Yeah.
And I think then we should support action to increase the tax and to include fruit juices, because that's also part of what Hila has been working on, to bring it up to 20%,
right,
but also
increase. I mean, that's a civil society group that really understands, you know, how to promote health in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they represent civil society. So I think we should be heeding that call.
Right. Thank you so much, Karen. Thank you for this update. And this is something hopefully that will be tracked in years to come, so that we see the impact of several laws and how they go on to affect ordinary South Africans. Here's a quick voice note on this question of sugar intake.
Gary from Durban. It must have only been the Coca-Cola company that was hit with the sugar tax, because all the other brands, you get the Spa brand and there's Cooee and Kingsley and all that, you can still buy a 2 liter for between 10 and 12 rand. So I just stopped buying Coke personally. And the whole debate on obesity in this country, it might have a bit to do with sugary drinks, but the main problem is maize, rice, bread, refined carbohydrates. People in this country consume a lot of carbohydrates. So, and that is the main problem. That gets converted into sugar and then stored as fat. So it was just a way for government to get more taxes in so that they could steal it, as we all know they do.